been able to hang together during 2020, despite the hardest of hard times. Father, we thank you for the ministries of the church: Shift, Jesus Club, Hands and Feet, WOW, Sunday services, small groups and more. And we thank you for the fact that you've been able to keep those groups not just hanging together and surviving, but thriving during that time. We thank you also for the Glover family and for the work that they have done in this church during this year. And we thank you that that you've given them the gifting and the excitement to go overseas to work. We thank you for Chad and Parissa and for the people who were involved in the selection committee process. We thank you for the work that those people put in and the hours that they gave. And Lord, we thank you also for the fact that Australia has been spared the worst of this pandemic so far. And we thank you for the leaders being given the wisdom that they needed. But Father, for all these other things that we pray for the Norgate family, Lord God. We pray for Rachel, who's out of hospital but still quite sick. We ask that you'd help her to recover quickly, especially as she's looking after the children who are unwell. Father, we pray also for Josh as he helps her to cope with this situation. We pray for my dad, Malcolm, as he goes on to have his own operation. I ask that you'd help him to recover quickly. Father, we pray for Giri and Rajita, Satwick and Shiny, and their family as they deal with the loss of Giri's grandmother. Thank you for the witness that this has been for those around, because we do not grieve without hope like others. We pray for Annie, Lord God, as she continues dealing with the fallout of her accident. We pray that you keep her safe and well during that time. We pray for the Pratt family, Lord God, as they also cope with Ben's ongoing illness. We pray for Ben that you'd help him to cope with the pain and to recover his movement as much as he can. And I ask, Lord God, that the family would surround him and love him, and that the church would surround him and love him as well. We pray, Lord God, that we would continue to give of ourselves as we keep ministries sharing the gospel. And Lord, help us to keep the main thing the main thing. Help us to focus entirely on your gospel, because this is the hope for our world. We pray for the elders as we deal with the changes that we face this year, and also as we continue to navigate the church in uncertain times. Finally, Lord God, we pray for the leaders of our country and our state as they lead us, that they would be given wisdom and that they would continue to help manage this situation that they find themselves in. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, normally I would get another person to do a Bible reading, but today I will be reading today. So it's in Acts chapter 17, which is a chapter that I've been doing a lot about. This is going to seem like it's a little bit strange, I understand, but just go with me here. We're going Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through to 9. And I'm reading from the NIV. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world, and they have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. They then made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Here we go. Back in 2019, we began a teaching program that brought us back to the basics of the Christian faith. It was called After God's Heart. We looked at a family after God's heart. This topic was actually about the spiritual home of the Christian, which is the church. We looked at ministering after God's heart. Hello, it's crashed. There we go. There we go. Ministering after God's heart, which was about how the Christian is trained and prepared for ministry and then sent out. We then looked at growing closer to God's heart, which was about spiritual disciplines such as Bible reading, prayer, fasting, and giving. We finished that year with a purpose after God's heart, which was about mission and evangelism. That was 2019. In 2020, we examined the Bible in greater detail with a program called The Word from the Beginning. Now, the main aim of this was to demonstrate that Jesus was central to the Bible right from the start. We went through 5 sections. In the beginning, studying the Messiah in Genesis through to Deuteronomy. God and his people, which looked at the role of Israel's history in preparing for the Messiah. Thus said the Lord, examining the prophets, looking forward to Christ's coming. The Word became flesh, examining the actual life of Jesus as shown in John, and to the ends of the earth, showing the fingerprints of the Messiah in the early church. So, we have spent a year learning about what it means to be Christian. We've spent another year examining the text of Christianity, the Bible, and showing that Jesus is the focal point here. But all of this is no good at all unless it makes an impact on our lives. Now, I've seen this in a small way with a summer program, Bless, aimed at helping us to go out amongst those we care about and share the gospel. But we're going to go further, much further. There are 2 important aspects of formal Bible teaching at any church: preaching in the Sunday service and the small group program. For the next few minutes, I will be talking briefly about what we intend to do in each of those contexts. Firstly, the teaching program for the Sunday service. We live in a fallen world. The world's values, attitudes, its ideals, its thoughts have all been affected by the entry of sin. Now, in the Bible reading, we saw that Jesus' actions and teaching had an impact on the world. Now, if you look at the Greek for it, the exact expression they use is turning the world upside down. That is what they said about what Jesus was doing. But if the world is already upside down, as we kind of say that it is, because its values aren't in line with what God wants, then Jesus' actions and teachings are really turning the world back up the way it should be, which is why we are going with the title, The Right Way Up. Now, whereas 2019 was topical in nature and 2020 looked at the big picture of the Bible, this year we are going to be looking at smaller sections of the Bible in greater detail. Accordingly, instead of having it in 5 or 6 smaller parts, we are looking at 3 larger sections of Scripture. The first of these is called Principles for Living the Right Way Up. When I was preparing these PowerPoints, Erica and Grace were a little bit disturbed at what they saw. Grace said that Jesus' ministry in Australia was doing well. Anyway, we won't cover the entire book of Matthew, but we are going to explore some of the places where Matthew records Jesus' teaching. This includes the Sermon on the Mount, but also his parables and some of the incidental sermons that he gives when he's talking to the disciples or the people he's ministering to. Jesus is the ultimate source for describing the right way up life. So it is critical that we begin with what he says. The second section is called A Life Lived the Right Way Up. We'll be delving into the life of the patriarch Abraham, whose life was completely turned around by God. In some ways, he was the first follower of God as we understand it. And the Bible describes his life in gory detail. If you look at ancient people, their stories are generally telling only the good side of their lives, But the Bible has no such scruples, and it tells you everything about Abraham, including his triumphs, his tragedies, his successes, and boy, oh boy, does it go into detail about his failures. So we'll be seeing Abraham. The third and final section is turning a church the right way up. This section will be examining the book of 1 Corinthians in detail. Now, this book is about a church in crisis, which has allowed the values of the world to affect the way that it operates. And Paul is aiming to return the Corinthian church to its former glory. The teaching of this book pulls no punches, and many of the errors present in the Corinthian church are absolutely visible in Christians today. So it is important for us to take note. So, that is the plan for Sunday services in teaching this year. However, we do need to address one of those elephants in the room. The pandemic is still very much with us. Now, currently, thank you, Lord, it looks like New South Wales is past the most recent COVID-19 spike. But we do need to be prepared that other outbreaks might occur during 2021. Last year, a significant amount of our time was spent in lockdown with services delivered electronically, and it is certainly possible that we might see periods during the year in which it is impossible to meet in larger groups. Therefore, we are going to be revamping the church's small group system. We need to ensure the vast majority of the church community are connected with a small group, which should ideally involve no more than 5 people visiting a home, so that they will be unaffected by all but the strictest health orders. Should we face a new period of lockdown, this group would act as your location for church gathering. In order to do this, we will be needing more homes in which to gather and more people to take responsibility for leading a group. Now, there are a few people who are looking at this and going, well, I'm in a small group, but there's more than 5 people visiting. What do we do? Well, what I'm saying here is, if you are already in a small group that involves more than 5 visitors to a home, feel free to continue, but you need to consider a plan B. Should restrictions be instituted that prevent groups larger than 5 from meeting, which members of your group go where? How does your group subdivide into groups that can meet? If you are currently not in a small group and are willing to have one in your home, or if you wish to help out by running a small group, or both, please get in touch with me by my email address, which is up on the screen. What I will be doing is I will be providing groups with a plan for meeting together and some study material in order to make it simple to do. I would also ask existing group leaders and hosts to contact me and let me know whether or not you are willing to continue so that we can ensure that any groups which need replacement are provided for. Teaching is an important facet of the work in any church, and I believe this is one that we do well. However, we constantly strive to improve, ensuring that our teaching remains relevant, scriptural, God-focused, and practical. I'm going to ask you to pray for the teachers at KPCC, both those on the pulpit on Sundays and those running small groups, that God would help them to do their part in turning this world the right way up. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And Lord, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And Lord, as we go out into this year and we try and understand what you have to say to each one of us, I pray that you'd give us insight into your word, that you'd help us to be willing to delve ever deeper into this important source of communication. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, to those of you who are watching on the internet, this is the end of the service, so it is now time for us to take communion. We would encourage you to take communion with those who are in your home at the moment. For those of you who are here, we are going to take some time to share communion together. God has done so much for us, and this time has been a situation where we've been able to look at what God has done over the last year and get a picture of how important that has been. We are going to now take communion, which is where we, in a formal way, specifically remember a particular important part of what God has done, namely his death on the cross for our sin. We're going to take some time now to pray and to share openly in preparation for communion, and then I will be asking the ushers to come out and we will share communion together.